I walked in the trailer, the makeup trailer one day. I literally like checked the door, get like walking to the right trailer. And no, he's in my wardrobe. He's in, and I was like, what is happening?
Would you consider ever becoming the president?
That's a good question.
You have my good question. I'm sure you were asked that.
Because you got my vote.
I am excited about like what the next thing is.
Well, welcome back to another episode of After We Wrap. Yes. With your hosts, Jana Lee Ortiz.
And Gabriela Ortiz.
And today
we have...
is a special day.
Yeah.
I mean, every day is a special day. Every but today day. We have... not only our first straight man.
Yes, you are our
first. I was wondering that. I thought I might be. First, I was like, it's usually women.
Yeah, it's usually women.
So I'm not the first male. You had a gay man on here. Apparently,
yes. But we are now graced with the presence of Jason George.
I like how y'all harmonize everything. Y'all harmonize
the title of the show.
At you it, harmonize yeah. my name. I'm Exactly. Can y'all just like follow me as my hype team wherever I go?
That's what we're going to do. But I always want to say Jason W. George because your name is Jason Winston George.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to add the Winston Jason.
When you
Jason.
Say the full thing, I'm either getting introduced or I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
When did
Jason
you?
Jason Winston George.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. See, as you said, I got flashbacks.
That's the perfect.
I almost ran for the door.
I could hear Van saying that almost every day.
Jason Only two Winston women. My mom.
When did you take off the Winston?
I assumed coming into the union, because remember it used to be a thing that like two actors couldn't have the same name in the union.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's not a thing anymore. I'm not sure. But I assumed Jason is a very popular. I had like five dudes in my elementary school. There was Jason George, Jason Bond, Jason Levy, Jason Scott. There was like all these Jasons in my, so I was like, there's got to be another Jason George in the union probably. So I was like, but at the time, everybody's coming in with like, you know, everybody had like three names. You know what I mean? Everybody was rocking a whole bunch of, you know, three name things. Jana Lee Ortiz.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis, right? And so I was like, we'll rock with this for a second because I assumed somebody was in there. And then I found out nobody at the time had Jason George. Now, there is since I found out some brother out there named Jason George lives in Los Angeles, does mostly commercials or whatever. And here's the funny part. When I went to get the website, Jason George, it was already taken by a cinematographer and photographer up in Canada. He actually shot us. At the at Upfronts or TCAs in Canada one time. So like I've worked with Jason George. Oh. And then come to find out years later, I meet a Jason George, the writer, who were the same management company. I had a 5-minute conversation with a manager and she thought it was wrong Jason George.
Wow. Entirely.
So someday my plan is to have something written by Jason George, shot by Jason George, starring Jason George.
That's amazing. That's
going to
happen.
The story's going to be called Jason.
It's just going to be Jason George. It's going to change the title. It's going to be like written by, and that goes away. The name just stays
the entire time.
I
love that.
But yeah, so I dropped it at a certain point when I realized, I was like, yo, Jason Winston George is a mouthful. And I was like, these other dudes just got to suck it up.
Right.
Like when you have more IMDb credits than I do, then.
Exactly.
Then I'll have a problem. Until then, it's your problem.
Well, we've seen Jason George on Sunset Beach, Grey's Anatomy, Station 19, leading Picket Lines as well. I mean, and so much more. But this show is about who we are when the cameras stop rolling. So let's just dive in. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason George. We have to do a second intro. Let's just get right into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like... I actually don't know. Maybe I do know this, but what do you normally do after a long day on set? Like, first thing you would do?
Part of my ritual is I keep makeup remover in my trailer. Like, a lot of people just go in and do some wipes real quick and then go home and like take care of it. I do it in the trailer because when we used to shoot over in Hollywood and I got to go over the hill to where I live in the valley, I want to like fall asleep on my way home. I don't want to, because if you go home and then wash your face, you've woken up.
Right.
And it wakes you up right before you. It refreshes you and wakes you up. So I do that for be ready for the drive. But when I get home, I want to be decelerating as I get. You know, I'm not going to fall asleep on the road, but I don't want to wake up right as I'm getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah. That's what happens. So, does that ever happen to you when you're on the couch and you're watching a movie and you start falling asleep, but then you get up to the bedroom and you realize I have to brush my teeth, wash my face,
every time,
and now I'm like energized again.
Every time. We start purposely sometimes, depending on what we're watching. Like, we might go get ready for bed before we sit down to watch. Even though we're like downstairs in the family room. Because I don't want to wake up again. Like, if I fall asleep, just leave me there.
Yep. Yeah. Just leave me crawling, there. Just crawl in.
Put a little blanket on.
Oh my God, right. I love that.
Pull the blanket out. Just...
So the makeup. Wait, are you doing self-drive? Are you doing the...
I love to drive. I have self-drive. I my car has self-drive and I think it's cool and I occasionally will pull it out. I got in trouble with a cop one time.
Oh no.
We were going down south. I think I was taking him to an anime expo thing or something like that. Cause he was really into anime at the time. And so we're driving, I'm like getting him to look on the phone, like give me a definitive, like better address or something, like where the parking was or something. And I was like, looking at him, and he's like, I can't figure it out. And I said, okay, so I threw on self-driving for a second. Traffic was not moving it was relatively slow. So I reached over to like grab the phone to like, it's just right here. And literally it was like 2 seconds. Cop pulls me over. Cop was like ready for it. His brother walks up and he's like, you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, I'm guessing it was because you may have seen me on my phone. He's like, yeah. I said, but officer, I touched the phone for just 2 seconds to show my kids something. And I actually put the car on self-drive to be extra safe. And he goes, oh, you're saying all the wrong things. They don't like self-drive.
Wait, did he recognize you?
No, he did not recognize me. He didn't care. He did not care who I was. I have gotten out of really, really bad tickets because
they're like, wait, aren't you?
That has got less because I recognize than like I led them to recognize me. This is bad. I got caught doing, it was probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd been at an acting class I was taking at the time. This is years ago. This is even before 9/11. This is like around 2000. Uh-huh. So I'd been at this acting class because I was like, let me get my chops back straight. Rehearsing afterwards. So it was like late. And I lived in Whittier still. My wife was working at Whittier College. Mm-hmm. So we lived all the way out there. So I'm on the 110? No, it would have been on the 105. I was on the 105 freeway and I was doing about 100 miles an hour. Because I like to drive.
The highway is so free and it was clear. It's like you don't even feel how bad.
And back then the 105 was empty. It was my personal freeway. It was just my driveway, right? The 105, I could get to the airport and nothing flat and I could get back to Whittier. So like the 105 was my joint. So I'm on the 105 and I'm like just flying and this young cop pulls me over. And he's like, you know, he pulled me over. He's like, I wasn't even paying attention because, you know, I was in my acting class and we were rehearsing afterwards and I got to get back to shoot early in the morning. And I was just trying to get home as fast as I could, but not paying attention to my speed. So you're an actor? Yeah. You done anything I would know?
Got him.
I was like,
you done anything I
now see, I just ratted myself out now. It's never going to work again. But and at the time, there was a very popular actress on that show. And so I was able to like drop a couple of names. He's like, what? She's like, oh, she's great. You always forget, she loves to cook. I was like, oh, she's the nicest woman in the world. He's like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, you know what? Just take it easy next time. Pay attention. I was like, gotcha, officer.
Nice. Damn.
You got to drop the breadcrumbs and lead around
it's
to you.
It's the perks. It's the little things.
If you say the words, do you know who I am? There's only two answers and both are bad. One is no, in which case you're embarrassed. The other one is, yeah, I do, and I don't care. Right?
I remember, didn't that happen with Reese Witherspoon at one time? No. Do you know who I am?
What?
Remember that? I don't know if you remember that clip. Anyway.
Never say those words.
I know.
Never say the words, do you know who I am?
Got it.
And it was on camera, too.
Now I gotta look for
That's
it.
That's hilarious. Yeah, you have to play it cool a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta just drop a couple of crumbs and you can
hilarious.
Tell when they're biting and when they're not.
All right, here's a question that I think you've been asked before, but we have to ask it again. If you weren't an actor, what would you be doing and why?
My dream was to argue a case in front of the Supreme Court. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer. I was like, I thought that was dope. I was into all the legal movies. I wanted to like, Your Honor, you know, make the whole speech and everything like that. Bang on the table a couple of times, you know. And I'd actually gotten cool with the vice principal of my high school. Was one of the best educators I ever knew. He was an incredible, incredible man. The principal was an idiot, but the vice principal was dope as hell. And really took care of kids. Like even the bad kids who like were constantly getting kicked out, loved him because he was fair and he was just a really good dude. His son was the youngest and only the second black Supreme Court justice of Virginia, where I grew up in Virginia. And so like he passed away my senior year. I wrote a thing about him and ended up winning a scholarship in his name and his son and I became cool. And so the whole thing was you go to school, I'll write the recommendation. We'll get you into the best law school we can. You come clerk for me. Career laid out in front of you. And then I took an acting class in first year.
And
it was crazy. I never told my dad I was going to go to graduate school for acting, but I called the judge. And that was a tough conversation. It was a lot of silence.
A lot of silence.
So I would have been a lawyer.
Wow. And now you could play one.
Have you played a lawyer?
I have played a lawyer a few times. I've
had
a
lot of fun playing
that. Oh, I love it. I love it. Because when, especially when like you've got the speech written out for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because I can write a speech. I can write some junk. But like when they write the good ones, it's like you get hyped and you get to like get your full lawyer on. Like, lure the witness into a trap and then be like, but weren't you in the house all by yourself? Didn't you? And you can just like, all that kind of junk. I love
it. Scared me.
That's stuff, right?
It's like, yes,
right?
I did. Yes, I did.
You just make everybody's butt clench up. It's like, shocking. Yeah.
I can see you. I can see you.
Yeah. Right? Devil's Advocate, right? The thing about the Devil's Advocate is I'd also like to play the devil. That'd be fun.
You played the devil so good in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pacino? That's it. It was Pacino's the devil.
I mean, Jason, you've also played a firefighter twice.
Yeah.
I just told Gabby about it. She was like, what? He was in Friends?
Actually, I played a firefighter 3 times. Somebody just reminded me of, I did an episode of House forever ago. And I'd forgotten about it, with Tori Kittles and Megan Good. And Megan's such a sweetheart. She's cool people besides just being gorgeous and talented and everything like that. But I just remember, but she's known for being beautiful. So she was kind of hyped about playing a firefighter. So she's trying to get as like as tomboy as she can. There was a moment where she was like, right. And she's like trying to change her walk and like trying to like, get rid of the fingernails and everything like that. And I was like, you're still Megan Good.
I was like,
you look like you could be a firefighter. I believe you. But you're still making good.
Right,
you're the firefighter that everybody's trying to date. I'll light myself on fire just so you can come.
I know. The other day we were in the full firefighter get up. And I was like, this is hurting me. I'm in so much pain. And Jason was like, I love this. I eat this up. I'm like a little kid again. I mean, he truly loves it. He loves it.
I do. It has its limits. Like there was a point where like I was standing there and about 15 minutes in and they still hadn't. And I'm not only wearing the, because the gear is crazy heavy. They always say the gear is like 60 pounds. They found ways to like pull out lining and everything like that. And the tank was on. They give us fake tanks, but it's still, it's about half the weight of a real tank or whatever. But then I had a hose.
Oh,
and the hoses are crazy heavy. And they put it on top of the pack itself. And I'm standing there and I like the whole thing, because I'm one of the older cast members. I like the fact that y'all be laying around and I still be standing up.
It's true.
I like that
it's
look.
True.
I like
it
that look.
True.
I like the way that looks. I like. Because y'all made, you remember, like, with the first episode, y'all were like on me because we had an all night shoot. They had this great, great stunt at the very beginning of the show where, like, people get knocked out of a, where you and where Andy, Maya, and Jack have to, like, strap a dude onto their back and jump out of a like, fourth or fifth story window or something like that. Like, right as, like, flames explode out from behind them, is action, action, station 19.
Yeah.
And they drop down into this bag. It's all night. Like, we're going to finish at dawn. Like, we're hoping we can finish by dawn. And I remember early on, it's, like, 1 o'clock, and this is me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and they're all laughing. They're like, look at the old man over there asleep, whatever. Not my first rodeo.
Yeah,
cut to
right.
5 a.m. just before dawn. And they come and they go, okay, camera's ready. And everybody else is like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, let's go. And I'm like, see, you sleep when you can.
That's what,
I grew up in a military town. You sleep when you can.
Jason can fall asleep anywhere. There could be a party going on. There could be so much happening. And he will fall asleep in a chair, sitting up, eyes closed, but then be energized and ready when camera's ready.
I don't know
how he does it.
I'm telling you, military town. It's like on concrete in 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever you give me. I can get something in.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to remember that.
Yeah. You got to get your cat naps in whenever you can.
So what about being an actor made you going into joining or being part of the board in the union? Like, what is, was there something that you experienced as an actor that you said, we need to fix this. I'm going to come in and.
Yeah. It's
fun. Fix it. Yeah.
Fix it. There it is.
Right. What's the word I'm looking for? My mom was the president of the teachers union where I grew up.
So that's where you get a
unions had a big thing in my life in the first place. And she actually, when she ultimately retired from the classroom, she went back to work full time for the union for a while. So that was a big thing in my, just unions carry weight in my house in the first place. cut to, I was doing a show, and it was my very first gig, actually. It was a soap opera, and soap operas usually aren't syndicated.
Wait, which one?
A Sunset Beach. Oh. Right? And
you know, I full disclosure, I never saw Sunset Beach. I think I was too.
I was. Wow.
No, don't fight you. Look. I grew up.
We can
in,
go outside right now.
Listen,
Jana.
Listen. My shows.
All this last night.
Listen, the shows I watched as a kid are maybe a little different than the shows you watched as a kid, but that doesn't mean. Where can I find it, actually? Is this still on?
I don't know if Sunset Beach is out there anywhere. I don't know
maybe
if you can.
Maybe on YouTube. It has to be. It probably is.
I don't know. Everything is out there.
So that was, right? How many seasons did you do?
We did three seasons. But, and it was Aaron Spelling doing daytime. It's the only time he's ever done daytime. And God bless him and rest his soul. He pulled me onto a primetime show, which was a horrible show. It was a show called Titans. It was not good. But I just want to,
it's not available for streaming.
There you go. Interesting. But I just wanted to get series regular on my resume. So I was like, I'm down. And then I played the black best friend and just, you know, my job on that show was to ask the lead, like, how was your night last night? So he could give a monologue about the girl he's dating and everything like that. Spelling is phenomenal for keeping you employed, not so great about paying you on time or paying you more than you think. Wow. So we found out that somebody had a friend say, because the reason why spelling is important is because he's like, oh, you don't syndicate soap operas? Forget that. I'm spelling. We were in 160 countries. We were everywhere. We were like huge in the UK. Like, it's very random. Like, the people that watch this show, like I have people I've met who are Oscar winners who are like, Sunset Beach, and I'm like, why are you? What are you talking
Sunset
about?
Beach.
It's hilarious. But so somebody had a friend who said, hey, I just saw you on TV in Zimbabwe. And they're like, so, hey, everybody, we're on the air in Zimbabwe. I was like, that's dope.
Why am I not getting paid?
We get a Zimbabwe check. And we check, and we hadn't gotten a Zimbabwe check. We hadn't gotten for that section of Africa. And so I was like, you know, called the union, was like, you know, can you look into that for us? And they did. And that was one of the first things that get me deep in it. And then it was like all sorts of other little things. Like I ran into John Conley, who's like my union, you know, father. He was president of AFTRA at the time, and soap operas are AFTRA. And I, you know, met him at like but we both went to Temple University. I went there for grad school, and I think he went there undergrad. That's where I studied acting. And we met at like a Temple thing. And then I found out that he was the president of the union. I was like, oh, that's so dope, because you guys actually just helped me out with the Zimbabwe thing, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, next thing you know, he calls me into these meetings where they're doing, when we're getting ready for the contract, the wages and working conditions meetings, right? We're getting for the contract that we negotiate for actors at that, for the one for daytime and everything is called net code. Next thing you know, I'm in, on the committee in these meetings, and I'm feeling completely out of my depth. I have no clue what I'm doing here. I'm like, this is bad. I'm like, I'm just taking up space. And then comes this part where they're trying to negotiate in, and we've been dealing with this issue for literally ever since. And I think we finally did something that fixed it. What's called paint downs, where a stunt performer, you take a Caucasian stunt performer and literally put him in blackface makeup to double a black guy. Oh my God, is correct. And the whole thing, and the immediate response in the room, when we put it across the table that we had a proposal about, you know, trying to end the practice of paint downs or wiggings, is when they put a wig on a dude to play a woman.
Okay.
Those two things, right? Okay. And the immediate response from the producers at that time, and this is like probably the 2001 contract, the immediate response, they said, this is the 1950s, that doesn't happen. 3 months literally before this, I was doing a mountain climbing movie in Utah. And I walked in the trailer, the makeup trailer one day, and there's this woman painting dude down. And I just went, I literally like checked the door, get like, walk into the right trailer. And no, he's in my wardrobe, he's in, and I was like, what is happening? He said, oh, he's going to be your son. I said, I'll be right back. You might want to stop. I went and grabbed the producers, and I was like, I'm not going to blow up yet, but you got to explain to me what the hell is going on. And they were like, well, we tried five different, see what had happened was,
yeah.
They were like, we tried five different dudes, and we never got hold of this dude, and da, 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 da. He was our first choice, but he never got back to us. And I was like, five calls, and that's all we did. Like, did you not know the lead of your movie? I'm the lead of the movie, and it's a mountain climbing movie. You know you're going to need a black stunt climber. Like, that's, as soon as you agree, green light the script, that's a needed thing. So how that didn't happen well in advance, I don't know. Anyway, they're great guys. Completely dropped the ball on this one.
Wow.
I cussed him out, made him make the extra call. And I was able to tell this story in the negotiations, because they were like, this is the 1950s. It never happens. And I was like, actually. And the best part about that was when they made the extra call in the, you know, on the movie, they got hold of this guy who was actually ended up being the best stunt climber in the entire movie. The young guys I got nervous for a second when he showed up, because I'm like, at the time, I'm like 24, 25, something like that. And like, this dude walks in, he's 50 something, which I thought was old at the time.
We all did.
Yeah. Apparently some people still do.
No, no, no. We thought, some remember people we thought 30s was old?
Some people, yeah, remember when I we do. Were I do remember teenagers? I thought 30 was ancient. But he walks in, he's like 50 something. He's got these crazy thick Coke bottle bottom glasses. He's a little bit lighter skinned than me. He's bald. And I'm like, what did I do? Maybe can you get the white guy back? but then they say, okay, it's time for the stunt. And he goes, cool. He takes off his hat, puts on the helmet, takes off the glasses, takes off the jacket. He's got one-armed pull-ups, and this dude is nuts. He's doing stunts that, like, the young guys are like, I wouldn't touch that. Oh, and one of the young guys goes, that's how I know him. I had a poster of him on my wall when I was a kid. The guy was freaking amazing. But again, it just goes back to, if you put in that extra effort, you get it done. So in the negotiations, I open my mouth and I realize I don't know these contracts. I didn't then anyway. I very much do now. But it was just having work experience. Mm-hmm. Showing up and being willing to open your mouth can make a huge difference and move the needle. So like, your personal work stories is really all you need to know. So that's been what I've been telling people forever, just to be like, just show up and open your mouth. Like, if you've worked, if you show up, you'll hear somebody say something, you go, yes, that happened to me too. That's messed up. Or like, and you don't even realize the problems until you start talking.
Because we're
actors. We're just so used to just like, just get it done. Just make it work. Just go. And you start to realize,
not right.
And at a certain point in time, you go, actually, it is messed up.
Yeah.
Why have we, like, you know, like, just this year, we finally started addressing the fact that so many hair and makeup trailers are not prepared to deal with people of color, with black hair. You know what I mean? And it's a thing where we're like, literally since the beginning of the film industry, it's never really been handled. But we just got so used to, I don't know a single black actress that doesn't carry around entire equipment to get her own stuff done. Get up 2 hours before shooting to get their own stuff done. And we get blessed because we have bosses and showrunners and people at the top who get it. And so we have the luxury, you know, and so, and you don't realize the difference it makes when you show up and like your co-stars can just jump out of bed, flash through a shower, just roll in wet hair, sopping wet. And you've got to, you know, and then when you have that, you suddenly go, I can just show
up. That's what it's like. Oh, okay, that's how it's supposed to look like. Gotcha.
I mean, for the first time this season on Station 19, we have an all black hair department, and that's the first experience that I had one or two, but this is the first time where it's every single one.
It's crazy
in the department, and it was so refreshing. Like, boom, I know what to do with this. I know what to do with that, because they have the experience with almost everyone.
They do everyone,
and it also makes black women, brown women, and men feel so much more comfortable and safe. Yeah.
Safe. Yeah. That's the like
100%. I mean, because, you know, hair and makeup, y'all know, is like that's the incubation chamber. That's the womb of every set. That's where everybody feels warm and cuddly, and that's how that's where you do your transformation. You go in, you come out the character.
Yeah.
And you don't realize it until then. Anyway, the point is that the union, you know, is more and more, the more people talk about their work experiences, the more you start to realize there's stuff that needs to get fixed. You
know what I mean? Now, I don't know the protocol like in the union, but being part of the board of directors, would you consider ever becoming the president?
That's a good question. You got my vote. I'm sure you were asked that.
Because you got my vote.
That's hilarious. Actually,
I have, on two different occasions, I've been asked by friends, just really low key, to be, you know, perfectly honest. And both times I said, my kids are too young. Like, I've turned down jobs that were going to, you know, series that shot out of town, you know? So like, and I'm like, no, if a movie out of town, that's fine. Like all of my kids are the world. Mm. My kids are the world. So like, I can't be away longer than a couple weeks or something like that. So, and that to do that job right takes a lot of time.
So you can't be a full-time actor and also be the president? Like, you have to.
You 100% can.
Oh, okay.
But it's a, I mean, being a full-time actor and being president, you know, you can make those things work off of each other. I think a really present dad and an actor and president. And
president. That's a lot. Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be the kids who take it on the chin, and that's not going to work for me.
How old are your kids?
Oldest is 20, turning 20 at the end of March, and the twins turn 16 at the
twins?
End of, the twins, they are comedy. And they're learning to drive and all that craziness. But
it is a possibility somewhere. I want him to run for president.
She wants to vote for you so bad.
Yes.
No.
I mean, it doesn't go without saying that all your efforts into the union and into helping us over the strike last year really made a huge difference. No, like it really did. Everyone is so grateful.
Did you see like a huge movement during those months when we were all there, you know, just picketing? And I don't know. This is the first time I've ever experienced a strike like this, let alone in the union.
I don't know
and
if there's
in Los
any
Angeles.
Actors who, you know.
So yeah. You notice a huge impact. Was like, oh my God, there's so many of us. And also, there's not that many of us. So it was like, like the community that we were able to build, like, for example, you know, through Latinas Acting Up. Shout out,
Latinas Acting Up, we're killing the game. Always out there dancing. It was like, what's coming now? Boom, salsa time.
I know. That was my favorite part. We were just so loud and just like, listen to us. But it reminded me like, this is such a huge industry and also is so little. And I don't know, I can't speak for a long time ago, but like for now, it's like, I hope that this is making a change, you know, or making a huge impact into the future. And like, are the young kids that are, you know, dreaming of becoming actors and joining this industry that they only work to make it better, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've noticed like a big
100%
shift.
100%. I mean, like that, the level of solidarity that our members, we have 160,000 members in the union, and that's that's across the country and across the world, because we have a rule called a Global Rule One, which is, you know, if you go to shoot something out of the country, your contract goes with you. Like, you want me, you gotta give me a SAG.
Oh, that's cool.
You gotta give me a SAG after contract kind of thing. So we have members all around the globe, and there were actions in the UK. I'm trying to remember where the furthest one. There were like people like got together and had a picket line in the UK in London one time, and they had another one in there are a couple other countries. I'm blanking. I want to say it was like Germany, and it's just crazy. Like it was literally everywhere. New York was off the chain. Georgia was ridiculous. And then we have locals all over the place, and they were just doing whatever they could to like put the word out. And so it was dope because everybody's on the line, and like you're walking and you see people who work background regularly. And then you see Bryan Cranston. And then there's Pedro Pascal. And there's the stunt guy that I work with. And there's the singers that I know. Latinas acting up. you know, the beautiful part about it was that everybody remembered we're just actors. Yeah. Right? Because we get so focused on like the hierarchy of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, where are you in your career? And we want to measure it by paychecks or how many lines you got and everything like that.
Yeah.
And all these things that are ridiculous. And in that moment where we're walking the line, you're like, I know you've got an Oscar. Get your sign. Walk the line.
Right.
And jokes we get made about like about name brand actors who were there to be seen and, you know, dressed up in the whole nine yards. And then like literally, I remember seeing this one Instagram thing where she was doing impersonation of every kind of different actor on the line.
That one.
And she did one with like, you know, the actor who wanted to be seen, like with, you know, all dressed up and everything like that. And then he said, you know, name brand actor who really is about it, and like just sunglasses and a hat and grabbed the thing. And I was like, yes. And you saw them, you know? And so it was, that was what was dope. And I hope it carries forward for as long as, you know, cause it's still there right now. People got engaged. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we called it hot labor summer, but what was dope was that we were a big piece of it, WGA, but then you got the auto workers and like the whole labor movement is coming back, and everybody's realizing that like, if we lock arms, we can speak to power and make them step up.
What companies were striking during us? Cause I know UPS was going through a strike close to when we were going. And then I know Uber and Lyft is striking now. Yeah. So it's just like.
And flight attendants, I believe.
The Starbucks got into it, you know, got into it. It's like, everybody's like starting to realize, you know, hotel workers are always, like I've gone to a couple different hotels, and this is years ago. See, I'm the guy who just, like I said, labor thing. I've walked picket lines for grocery workers. I've walked picket lines for hotel workers. Wow. I remember getting smuggled in when shows that I watched were popular amongst a lot of the communities. So like we snuck in through the kitchen and had meetings with hotel workers about like, you know, do you want to unionize, this particular hotel, that kind of stuff. It's like, it's when people, and people are afraid because they're like,
sure,
I need the job.
Yeah.
And we're like, 100%, I get it. But you also need to get paid a livable wage.
Right.
You also need to make sure you've got protections. Mm-hmm. You also need to, and if everybody's locked up, you know.
Speak up. Are they prepared to shut down? Bottom line, speak up. Yes, I love that.
Well, okay. We're going to switch gears. And this is probably the most random question you've been asked.
I love random questions.
If you were stuck on an island, what are three things you couldn't live without?
Whoa.
It could be anything.
Stuck on an island. Well, I'm
things, not people. Things. Not people.
Right.
You got your family. You've got everyone you love with you.
I'm gonna go with first off, survive. I'm gonna give me a big old knife, so we can protect ourselves. Maybe get some food, whatever. And then if I'm not alone, if I do have my family, I need a ball.
Ball.
You need to play with the ball.
Oh, so we can play games.
A Wilson.
So we can have fun, right?
You need a Wilson.
I need Wilson. Straight up, right? You know what I mean? Like we got. I'm just saying. If I'm there with my people, true. we're gonna have some fun out of it. So then I got a third. There's three things. Can brother get a boat? Is that? I mean, you stuck on an island.
Can we just get a boat?
Why we got to be stuck, right?
Yeah.
We gonna think out of the box. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the third thing.
A boat.
Go with the boat. You want to know what she was gonna bring in the island?
No, we said beauty products. Okay.
Oh,
I said beauty products. I didn't. I said sunscreen and like
Did you say lip gloss too?
I said lip gloss. It's so silly. But I thought we were doing products. But now
you're right. She's right.
My
She's
answers
right.
are right. Now changed.
How do I survive? How do I enjoy my time? How do I get off? She's like, how do I look?
You know what?
How do I look? Is my skin protected? Is my skin protected?
Lips need to be good? Moisturized. But now that I think of it, a filter.
A water filter.
Water filter is a good one.
Yeah.
That's real.
Right? Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. And it's also an Instagram filter.
An Instagram filter. Yeah.
It doubles up.
What's your biggest fear?
Ooh.
My biggest fear?
Yes.
I don't think I know this. I feel like you're fearless.
Oh, no, I definitely wouldn't say I'm fearless. If I ever seem that way, it's just because I can typically, logically say, you got to do it, dude.
Yeah.
I know you're scared out of your freaking mind, but you just got to do it. Just make it happen. Or there's no reason why you should be scared, or just do dumb stuff. And I would also do a lot of dumb stuff as a kid. Like, if we were driving in a car doing like 40 miles an hour, I would just crawl out the window and under the roof of the car because why not?
Right.
Biggest fear is probably, I don't know, failing my family somehow.
Oh, that's deep.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yes. I felt that. I felt that.
That went right.
Yeah.
Right there. Oh my God.
That's a real one.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, what's funny though is I'm like I said, the twins are turning 16, and there's a part of my brain that literally is like, if I get them graduated, get them into some college.
Yeah.
That's you can't say I screwed it up. Mm-hmm. That's 90% of being a parent. They're never going to leave. They're never going to stop being my kids. They're never going to, probably not going to leave home. But I'm like, that's on them. The rest of that is them. And then I jump in the back seat. You're driving now. And I get to, and that's totally where I'm at with the 20-year-old. And it's like, that's a dope spot. And the other part is you hit a spot where you realize, unless you're a horrible human being, all parents love their kids. But I actually really like my kids. Like I would hang out with my kids even if they weren't my kids. Mm. We had a moment last year. We were visiting my buddy in New York. Well, actually, we dropped my son. We just dropped him the week before for college. That was his freshman year last year. And we came back. He's at NYU. He's in New York.
And so then
we came back a week later. For the US Open and to hang out with him and see how he's doing. Just check in. It was basically an excuse to still like check in, right?
Uh-huh.
And also so my wife wouldn't completely lose it because your baby just left. Oh my God. She was like clutching the pearls in the whole nine yards. But the twins came with us and my buddy Ben owns a restaurant. He's connected with some folks and we ended up going to this comedy club because they were doing a connection between the two. And I'm sitting in this comedy club and my younger son's kind of into comedy right now. He's like watches Netflix specials and such, comedy specials like Game Tape. So yeah, we'll talk. And it was just a funny thing where like I'm sitting in the club and I'm looking at my kids and I'm like, this is what it's gonna be. This is dope. Like this is, I'm good with this. You know what I mean? Like we were just in the, and they were, you know, the headliner was funny. And so it was like, you know, and my buddy Ben used to do comedy. So he's like in, he's like whispering things in the kid. He's like, see, that guy does a lot of crowd work, blah, 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 blah. And it was just like, I want that. And I'm like, part of me feels like I'm like 2 years from that.
Yeah.
As opposed to right now, I still got to drive everybody everywhere and, out of bed. Let's go. I'm cooking you breakfast. Let's go. You know? And
by the way, you love your Saturday or Sunday morning breakfasts, right?
Both.
He cooks on both. Weekends.
That's the thing. Breakfast. It's like, you know, so many people show love through food and that sort of thing. I can't cook a lot, but I can cook a nice breakfast. And it's not even like that much stuff, but we get
classic.
Up and
it's a classic pancakes, right?
All my kids, when their friends spend the night, they get geeked out about like that. We get up and we become short order cooks for the kids. So it's like, you know, fried eggs, scrambled eggs, gluten-free pancakes. My daughter's gluten-free, colorful plate with all the fruit and everything like that. And it's just like, it's just a dope thing to do. And the kids are kind of like sitting there and they're like,
what's happening?
We became like, they made us cool parents because like their friends are like, your parents are like his buddy, my Grayson, who's like in my house on the regular. He's like, he would tell his mom, he's like, you know, Mr. Jason's pancakes are like the best. His eggs are like the best. She's like, what are you putting your eggs in? I'm like, milk, like everybody else. I don't do anything. He just likes that I do it.
Aww, you know what I mean? Sweet.
And so my kids don't care, but their friends care.
Right,
so
right,
that
right.
makes my
you
kids care.
Well, they're making an impression, you know?
Always like, loves your friends' parents more than their own. Like,
that's
right?
Real.
You're always like,
that's
so true. So cool. Your mom's so cool. Yeah. I love them.
That's real.
Sometimes you're like, they get on my nerves.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
You are the cool dad. They'll it's not until you get.
Oh, they'll realize 30, how amazing.
Like, wow, I realize
their parents
I
are.
I appreciate.
Yeah. Well, I want to be a dad that was cool, because I feel like cool dad is the one trying to like smoke with the kids and drink with the kids and everything like that. And I'm like, cool dad's trying too hard. Cool mom is trying too hard.
Right. Right.
I'll be a dad that's cool.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Oh my gosh. I love him. What's something that not too many people know about you? Actually. Yeah. Tell us that and then we'll get into.
Okay.
Something that not too many people know, but I don't even know. I'm pretty open. I don't know. I can juggle. I can.
He can juggle. Actually, that's a good
random.
One.
I didn't know that.
Every time there are balls on set, he's always showing off.
When you do this, it's very. It's a whole other thing. I don't know.
With Station 19 coming to an end, we want to use this platform to give.
Right.
space to fellow cast members to come on and, you know, celebrate the show and just share memories and experiences. What has been your favorite and most funny memory from the show?
Two or one?
One funny and like your ultimate favorite.
Oh, wow. There's so many funny
ones.
I don't even know
it's hard to.
I think when for the calendar shoot within the show,
my God, yes.
Jay had to get shirtless, and he like went through all the work to get right and everything like that. And so they're painting stuff on it. And so like Barrett and I just walked up and just started painting things, and it was like
there's a photo out there somewhere.
There's photos out there somewhere of me and Barrett painting on Jay. It's just wrong.
I know.
It's just wrong in so many ways.
What was the most difficult scene to shoot?
Most difficult scene to shoot?
I know, it's all a blur. I really can't.
I'm trying to think of most difficult. I mean, you know, I tell you what it is for the crew is whenever we're all in the beanery. That's what I'm going to miss the most is when all of us are sitting.
That's what I was going to ask you next. What are you going to miss the most?
Almost the entire cast is sitting at the table, the beanery, which is the kitchen. And, you know,
okay.
It's called the beanery because you eat beans.
It's a hangout session. We can't stop talking and laughing. And then it gets louder and louder. And the 80s are normally like, everyone quiet down. All right, we're gonna.
I remember when Oak Akariete was still in the cast, and him and I don't even know how it came about, like somehow like somebody was like, you want to eat that, you want to eat that? Yeah, fuck your berries. And next thing you know, it became a song that we sang for about a year and a half. Yo, fuck your berries. Your berries.
My god,
don't even know why.
Yeah, he would eat like an entire box of cereal.
Oh wow.
He would actually eat the.
Well, he's also just the most yoked cat on the face of the planet. He's like actually the Hulk. And his caloric intake is off the chart. So he'd be like, I'm just going to eat for real. And I'm like, It's a bad call. And there was only one time. That was another time. That was funny. When he, these meatballs, and he's just housing them. Just housing them. And then we, so you know how many takes we got to take. And somewhere around like the turnaround, we had to come around. And they're like, yeah, so Oak, now we're going to be on you. And he's like, I've already eaten a million freaking meatballs.
I know. You got to really
and, you just saw like color drain from the, you know, like.
You got to be selective with what you eat, really.
I just jumped up and ran away. I was like, that's why I'm like, they're like eating. I'm like.
Yeah, yeah. Like especially when the camera's behind like, you. We do a little.
You got to figure out how to like mess up your plate a little bit.
Yep.
Put like one pea on the edge of your fork.
That sound, honestly, the utensil sounds. Remember, you know when either on a TV show or a film, when people are eating,
the sound of it, yeah,
so satisfying. I love that.
You like it? It always cracks me up seeing how, because obviously it's like, yeah, they're not. Yeah. We know this because we can't eat that much, but it's so funny to see it on screen. Like, oh look, he took a bite. Oh, that's a really tiny bite.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But part of why I laughed because I did that to myself on this one show. I was like the ba-dum-bum guy on the show. Like, you know, I'd be the funny one liner at the end of stuff. And in this one speech I had, it was funny. I found it funny. And it turned out to be funny. If I just crammed a meatball in my mouth on the end of this in the middle of it on this one line and on the end of it on another line. Like it was like an exclamation point on the end of it.
Full meatball,
like a whole meatball. And it was, and they were big meatball. And it was like, and it was funny. And yes, I'm having a conversation about jamming balls in my mouth. Yes, I just heard it. Just caught up.
Oh my gosh!
But it was like this funny and like and fun. Literally I was Oak up until that moment, and I was like never again. And ever since then, I am like pee.
Yep, pee, the one single
like,
pee.
It's gonna take me like 5 minutes to eat one French fry. Yep. Never down. I'm like, y'all ain't gonna get me again. Give me once, you ain't get me again.
It gets you you don't realize how full you get. Until
you skip lunch,
and
then we have good lunches too on our show. We have really good catering, so like, yeah, I'll miss that too.
What
shout out to Eddie,
Eddie Catering. Oh. Hey, what are you looking forward to in this new chapter in your career?
Yo, that's the thing,
most of your life has been the Grey's Anatomy family, Station 19 family.
It's been a big, big part of my career. It's been a massive, massive part of my career. And the funny part is I very well may go back to Grey's some still. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I'm done with the Grey's piece of it all. But I am excited about, like, what the next thing is. You know what I mean? It's a 7-year run, not having a little bit of breathing room. So, like, you don't have to take the next job. You can be a little choosier. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then maybe I could have been 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Certainly then, you know, 15 years ago. I'm looking forward to finding another play to do. Here on the stage, you know, knock something out. And then I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm trying to produce and develop things. My brother and I are developing things. So it's like, you know, I'm just excited about opportunity to like, you know, explore stuff that just excites me as opposed to just got to get bills paid and stay relevant and stay in the mix. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, you know, let's now shift to like only doing stuff that I'm amped about.
Mm. I'm excited to see what you do too. I'm really excited to see you on stage. Yeah. I've never seen you on stage. You know, we'll be there.
It'll be fun. You will definitely be there because I will make sure you're there.
Oh, no. I'll drive over, pick you up, and bring you to...
No, after you killed it on stage just a little
bit
ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, we all showed up.
That was harder than TV.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I have a huge respect for theater actors.
It is.
And then you get to asking yourself, why don't they get paid as much? Because the amount of work and dedication.
100%.
I mean, and everything, every detail is so specific and thought out that.
Yeah. You've had the time to think it out. You've had the time to really make choices, to sleep on it. You know. And then you've got to, you know, 8 shows a week, you've got to find out how to make it still stay alive and keep it flowing. But at the end of the day, it's just economies of scale. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, if you can, I tell my kids, I'm like, if you want to be, I said, for the love of it, you've got to love the work. Mm. I said, and that's the goal, is to find something that you actually love the work itself, right? That you would do it for free. But 100%. I tell people all the time, I said, union work. I said, the union exists to protect actors from themselves because we do it for free. Yep. And we're like, but no, you got to pay me.
Yeah.
You got to pay me. but then the other piece is, if you want to make money, find something that you can sell while you're sleeping. You know what I mean? We make a widget. People make widgets in some other ways. You know, making ball bearings is not sexy, but somebody's rich off ball bearings. Somebody's rich off of, you know, the refrigerator magnets. We make a thing. We are part of making a TV show that they sell, and they can sell it to as many people. You know, whereas if you do theater, only the few people lucky enough to come that night get to see it. Experience. You can only sell it to 1,500 people per night.
Live.
You know what I mean? And that is also what makes it
it's also
precious.
Very specious. Yeah, specious. Special. Precious.
Yeah.
Special and precious. Specious.
Special.
It's a new word. That's what makes it extra special. Word. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, my
you
know, gosh.
And every night is different. If you see it one night and then come back and see it the next night, it's always a little different.
That's the beauty.
That's true.
What would you take from you? Yeah, from set. What do you think you'll take? Any piece of wardrobe? Like, what's the one thing?
When is this going to air? Because am I ratting myself out?
I know. I'm on Monday.
When are you putting this out there?
I already asked Alicia about the shield, and she's like, they're actually a rental, but let me ask.
My thing is, well, the on our turnouts, the firefighter going into the building gear, our names. On the bottom of the thing, our Velcro on.
We gotta take that.
And it says worn. That's
no one's
easy.
Gonna use
that's
that easy. Again.
I kind of want my helmet.
Helmet is a must.
I'm like, sorry.
It's
going home with me.
Also, you wear the plastic one, right?
No. I still wear a real helmet. I've worn a real helmet from day one.
Wow.
Never not worn. And then I'm trying to think. Is anything else I'm dying to take? Those are the big ones.
Yeah, right.
And then I'm sure something will turn up somewhere that like,
oh yeah,
will just disappear with me.
We have to.
Yeah.
We just gotta. Yeah, all right. A quick this or that.
Lastly,
we ready?
Yeah, this or that. Don't even think. Just
don't even think.
That, East Coast or West Coast?
East Coast. Even though I lived over half my life on the West Coast, but I'm still at the heart of East Coast.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. Pineapple on pizza. Good or bad?
Good.
You're one of those?
Hawaiian pizza. Hawaiian pizza.
You are one of those?
Hawaiian pizza.
I can't look.
Hawaiian pizza. That's right. That's right.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. You know what? I take it back. I don't want to yuck your yum.
People come from around the globe to go to Hawaii. Why? You think it's for the sun? No. It's for the pizza.
For the pizza.
Are you serious? Hawaiian pizza? I know, right? Fuck this beach. Soap operas or primetime TV shows?
Primetime TV shows.
Morning bird or night TV owl?
Oh, night.
You're a night owl. You're a night owl.
Even if I got to get up at 5 a.m., I still like go to sleep at midnight. Ooh. I'm stupid. It's like an honest, like, it's pathological. Just, like, it's dumb.
You love to hang out late. Yep.
You don't want to miss out. Okay. Lifeguarding on Sunset Beach or firefighting in Seattle?
Firefighting in Seattle.
Modeling or acting?
Acting. Oh, I never modeled.
Oh.
My Wikipedia says I modeled.
Are
and
you
I never
serious?
Actually did. Somebody put that on my joint. I don't know where.
That's where you put you know? It from.
And, I've never modeled. I never modeled. It was a thing. I never modeled to get paid for it. I've done it like, you know, as promotion as an actor kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Got it wrong, Wikipedia.
Super strength or super speed?
Oh, super speed. Ooh. Super speed. If you're strong as super strength be dope, but if you can't hit me.
Yeah.
I'll light you up.
Yeah.
You're
rap. Same.
Aliens, do they exist? Or is it a myth?
Statistically speaking, they have to.
Right.
I just don't know if they come here, right? I've had this long conversation. Okay, you know, you saw the problems of the world and the universe over a beer. I ran it down with a friend. We were like, statistically speaking, there has to be life on other planets. There has to be.
I know.
Have they made it here? That's a whole other conversation. And you know, what it would take to get there. Yeah.
Right.
But,
right.
You know.
Zombies or vampires?
Oh, I've been on a zombie kick. We got into Walking Dead deep.
Yep.
Zombies.
Yep.
Zombies.
Time travel backwards or forwards?
And by the way, are you saying what I think are cooler, or are you saying what I would want to be? Because vampire would be dope. To be a vampire would be dope.
Right, right.
Right, yeah.
Okay, time travel backwards or forwards?
Ooh, that's... Oh.
I love the next one.
That's rough. That's a hard...
Time travel backwards or forwards? You know what? I'm going to say... Backward.
Huh.
There's a lot of stuff I don't know. I want to see how stuff turned out or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know
mm-hmm.
how that.
If
it really was like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Karaoke solo or group performance?
Group performance. You do not want that karaoke solo from me. I can carry my note in my section. That's about as good as it gets.
Invisibility cloak or flying carpet.
Invisibility cloak. Invisibility cloak. Yeah. You know, get into places and just be like, just know everybody's business. Just know everybody's business.
I love that.
And by the way, I'd be naked all the time and nobody would know it.
Yeah, right? Right?
I always used to think like, I want to be invisible. So when I'm taking a test in class, I can copy from the and then I'll get a straight A too. But.
Right? Just get it done.
Survive in the wilderness or desert island? Deserted. My English sometimes.
There could be dessert on the island too.
Wilderness.
Did I say wilderness or wilderness?
You said wilderness.
Oh, I said it right.
You said it right.
I was saying wilderness, and Shane was like, "Babe, it's wilderness." I'm like, "No, it's wilderness.
Wilding out.
Are you deserted? Yeah. Or you say deserted?
Deserted. This is the last one, and I know I don't know if you can choose.
It's a hard one. Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy or Station 19?
Wow. Oh, wow. Which baby?
I'm just gonna close with that.
That's just because of where I'm at right now. I gotta say Station. Just because that, you know.
Don't cry.
It's also because that I've been asked similar versions of that, and Grey's Anatomy is like growing up in your parents' house, but Station 19 is like the house you make when you're a grown up.
I love that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, so it's kind of like everything in our house, we arrange that furniture. You know what I mean? It's like Grays was,
Jason.
Other people arranged that furniture long before we got there.
A lot of people don't know, but Jason is the reason why Station 19 fully formed. I feel like there are people behind the scenes that made it happen, but your character was the prime sort of pull into opening up this other world.
Said number one on the call sheet.
Jason George, everyone. Jason George. No. Just no one's like you. So
thank you so much.
for coming on and chatting with us.
This is a blast.
You're awesome.
My daughter said she actually likes your show. She gets it on her feed. She peeps it. So yeah. And she's a tough watch, by the way.
Really?
She will call BS on some stuff.
I love her.
Including on me. But she likes y'all. So well done.
Oh, well, Jason George, everyone. Get him. Well, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. You can follow Jason on
Instagram and X. I'm Jason W. George on X and Jason Winston George.
Don't forget the Winston.
Don't forget the Winston, because you'll get some, like, there's an Indian dude who has the record for most corporate tattoos on his body. It's the most random thing, but it popped up my face. I was like, wow.
I gotta look it up.
I was like, this is why I gotta make sure my middle name's on the Instagram. You don't gotta call him that to my face, but... On Instagram, it's Jason Winston George.
Well,
and Facebook too, I think. Something like that.
Well, thank you for taking the time to come out here and be with us and chat. We will see you
next time.
On After We Run.
Bye, guys.
Mwah, 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 mwah.
Jason, we did it!